The Tourism Biz Bites from the 7 podcast is brought to you by RTO7 in partnership with Community Future South Georgian Bay and with generous support from Tourism Simcoe County. For more information about the T3 Accelerator Coaching Program, visit rto7.ca.
I think the definition of a labor shortage is we have many opportunities and not enough individuals with that particular skill set to fill that role.
I kind of go, well, do you have work instructions? And they're like, no. And I said, well, how do you train somebody?
Maybe they're offering a staff lunch that I don't have. So there's fear that they're going to lose them.
Welcome to the T3 Accelerator Podcast, the podcast for tourism businesses in Tourism Region 7. That's the tourism region that covers Bruce, Grey, and Simcoe County in Ontario, Canada. I'm your host, Tracy Sternad. This week, we're continuing our conversation from the last episode about the labor shortage facing Tourism Region 7. I spoke with Michael Agama, who is the founder and CEO of Agama Work. Michael's company provides temporary staffing solutions to tourism and hospitality businesses across the region, and he's recently retired from Georgian College, where he was the internationalization lead, as well as a professor of hospitality, and is coaching with the T3 Accelerator Coaching Program.
So my name is Michael Agama, and currently, in my long list of accomplishments, I'm currently the founder and CEO of Agama Work. And Agama Work is a platform that seamlessly connects people with work and work with people without boundaries. But that has been the last 7 years. But I spent 30 years in post-secondary education as an administrator, as a professor, as a program coordinator. And the last 3 years of my professional career in that space was in the International Education Department, helping to sell the Canadian dream to students who wanted to come to Canada.
Okay, so Michael, let's dive right in. What is a labor shortage and why is it happening here in Tourism Region 7?
I think the definition of a labor shortage is we have many opportunities and not enough individuals with that particular skill set to fill that role. The challenge may be there is that individual here, but maybe they've chosen during this pandemic not to return to the workforce. If we talk hospitality and tourism in food service, I think just a couple of days ago, Restaurants Canada published that there were 230,000 less individuals employed in food and beverage, and I'm going to say in Canada, than there was last year. So let's make it 250,000 less individuals who, for whatever reason, we can point fingers and blame, but why is it they're not coming into this sector at this time?
Michael, why does the tourism industry struggle to find and retain staff?
And this, of course, is my interpretation. So if I go back to my time as a program coordinator for hospitality and tourism at Georgian, and I knew that whether it's an image problem, but then I think statistically, 75% of a person's first job is in hospitality and tourism. It's a quick service restaurant. It's a movie theater. It's a farmer's market. It's catering to those. It's a service related business. Yeah. The challenge is if your first experience or your first taste of this industry, and then you ask yourself, do I want to do this for 45 years or 40 years of my career? He says, no, probably not. So I use the story, imagine if Tracy's first job is a police officer at 15, right? Because I watch it on TV. It's a lot happens in an hour. This is exciting. And then they say, here's your uniform, here's your car. It's a 12-hour shift, and you're gonna sit in your car for 10 hours, sitting, driving, looking for things to do. And then for 1 hour, there's excitement. And the rest of the time, you are now making notes, like homework, of what you did that day, every day, so it's recorded. If you did it at 15, you said, this is boring. I hate this job. You may never become a police officer.
Sure.
But we idolize it in TV, on movies, the same with medical. Unfortunately, we haven't had, if we use Hollywood as a support, we haven't really had anything. I don't know if The Bachelor and The Bachelorette in Paradise helps us at all, but it's still marketed wrong.
In the media, we're hearing a lot about how many employees are simply burning out from working in tourism. What do you think about that, Michael? Because it can be a tough industry to work in.
You know, and I wish I was a psychologist, and maybe there's some professionals out there that have the answer. But again, we have no background to this, so we don't really know how to deal with it. Yeah. And we talk about balance, but what happens is a labor shortage creates the need for people to work longer, because we still have to deliver the services we told our guests to that they would receive when they got here. And so I would say that when they review, you know, the pandemic and all of the things in the books, the psychology of what the pandemic has done to people's mental health, it's probably going to be 10 years in the making, and the impact it's going to be of burnout. So I mean, I've heard of chefs, I've heard of restaurant owners, servers just saying, I'm done. Like, it cannot. And how have we dealt with the customer who still wants that? But I've seen signs, many signs that says, due to the national labor shortage, we're doing our best. You know, we have signs that say, please be patient. You know, though we showed up to work to help you. But the guests will say, I don't care. You know, I still demand.
Get me my burger.
I want it fast, and I want to be checked in early, and I want to not wait in line, and I want. And so, because people are tired of being at home.
Yeah.
And so maybe as a subset to this is we've forgotten how to be kind.
Okay, so you started a company called Agama Work. Tell me about the staffing solutions that your company is providing to the tourism sector.
One of our solutions was, you know, you choose when you want and where you want to work. This creates a new set of standards, because they say, okay, I can work 2 days here, and then I'm going to work 2 days here, and I'm going to work 2 days here. So what I do is first of all, I'm energized because it's a new environment, new people. It's not the same old. And I also gain valuable experience in how they do it, how this company does it, how this company does it. And what I can do is share different ways of doing things. So maybe I become more valuable in the organization. So it's difficult for changing how we do business, because of course, if I introduce in with Agama Work someone, they say, well, I want them only this person. I only want that. Well, they don't wish to be here all the time, or else you would hire them full time. But it also gives people an opportunity, if you're an older person, even if you work full time, to say, you know what, I just want a different environment. And guess what? I can be a banquet server or a bartender for an offsite event nearby or at a winery. I say, you know what? I'm not doing anything. It'll be fun. And yeah, it's long. I'll get my steps in. You know, you know, I don't need to join a gym. All I have to work is in the industry, and I can lift and I can do my core. I can do whatever and still maintain it. So we're just looking at different ways, because if we look at, and let's just use one sector. So say you own a hotel and you don't have enough room attendants. And say in a town of Collingwood, there are 1,000 guest rooms. I don't know exactly how many there are. And so 1,000 guest rooms may need to have 200 individuals who work as room attendants, right? And so what happens is there's celebration because I have hired a new room attendant, and you work for me for 5 days a week, and so on and so forth. And then, so this person through hours said, you know, I'm off on Saturday and there's an opportunity to work somewhere else. I'll try it. But that makes people nervous, because suddenly they say, well, how if they treat them better?
Right.
Better than I'm treating them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're offering a staff lunch that I don't have. Maybe they're doing something, and so there's fear that they're going to lose them. Right? So it's, and whether it's happened or not, I don't know. Yeah. But I think there's that fear. I want you here. Like, I own you for 44 hours a week. According to employment standards, I own you 44 hours a week. What you do for the rest of your time is your time. And so guess what many of us do? We have side hustles. I do some I enjoy doing. Maybe I'm opening up my own little Shopify account and I'm selling some goods and services. Mm-hmm. And then as long as it doesn't compete with what I'm doing, it's all good.
I spoke with human resources rock star Wendy Malkin, who has an extensive career in HR and also happens to be a coach with the T3 Accelerator program. So Wendy, what do you think about temporary staffing solutions as a potential opportunity for tourism businesses to face the labor shortage?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because I also think of history, right? Back in the Depression, we're nowhere near anything like that, hopefully. But, you know, people would be in a lineup and it would be the foreman comes by in the morning and says, I need 10 people with the following skill sets. You hop in the truck and away we go. And that's kind of how they ran their business. Traditional employment, temporary agencies and services, right, would have pools of people on record, on staff, in their database, that if you gave them a call, they could fairly quickly tee that up. So I'm sure, you know, from Mike's perspective, the same kind of concept, you know, we've had those types of conversations. So, you know, I'd even sort of floated this sort of, let's call it speed dating for business, right? Where essentially people are in a database, they can look and see what's coming up, employers can see them. It may be a visibility issue.
Wendy, it all starts with creating the right job description, right? So potential employees know what they're applying for. What advice do you have for small businesses tackling the creation of job descriptions?
Yeah, I mean, job descriptions, you know, really should just hit the high points, what the key tasks and activities are. Sometimes I get job descriptions and they're like War and Peace, so these long documents, and it doesn't need to be that complicated. I would say some of what people sometimes put in their job description should be part of your work instructions. If you're looking at two documents, in my mind, that you take some time to write out would be a job description, so that you can clearly define what somebody's role and responsibilities are, what they've got to deliver. Right, key tasks. And the other one would be a work instruction. So that means you've got to understand how you do what you do, right? How do you follow step by step? Because that's going to help, again, with you being able to bring somebody into your business. And I think sometimes for people, it's a good way of stepping back and looking at their business and really looking at, you know, how their business operates. I mean, I've had those conversations sitting around people's kitchen tables as part of the T3, and I kind of go, well, do you have work instructions? And they're like, no. And I said, well, how do you train somebody, right, to... Well, you know, it can job shadow and they can fall, but you got to have some form of documentation, I would say, to help. It serves multiple purposes.
So, Michael, the hiring process can be so time consuming, from creating job descriptions to reviewing resumes. How is your company helping to overcome that time constraint?
Take a look at some of the barriers. Is it hiring? You know, you look at how do we find people now? So people have posted jobs on Facebook Marketplace, on Kijiji, on Indeed, working in Simcoe County, there's the aggregate of 20 job searches, and you just type in what you want to do and it'll show you what's available. Phenomenal opportunity, right? But it takes time. By the time I think about it, I write the job post, I post it, I close it, I interview, I hire, it's 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late.
Yeah.
And it's too late. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the time. So one of the solutions we have is we had a client today who needed help today. And by George, they didn't post it. They didn't do anything. They have help this week. So it's just a quick solution mm-hmm. to a problem.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just a different way of looking at it. Is it perfect? Not yet. Is it different? Absolutely. And then for those who want to participate, regardless of age, there's no, you know, whatever the diversity, it's good. Yeah. You know, download the app and then create a profile. And if something intrigues you, in many cases, it's our clients who pick who they want.
Right.
So it becomes a competition because as soon as they choose Tracy, Tracy's application to other properties or other job titles is now in conflict. Mm-hmm. And they go, we wanted her. It's time that we look at everything we do. I know it's too tiring, but look at how we do things and what we've got. So yeah, I think, education is going to be disrupted. Tourism is disrupted. Is it stifling development? I think we're still going to come up with ways in which to do it, right? I mean, is Bruce Gray Simcoe going to say, there is no further tourism development in the region? And what people want to come here more than ever before. I guess we need to create more spaces to live, experiences to have, transportation modes, because people want to come here and experience what everyone sees every day.
Thanks for tuning in to this T3 Accelerator podcast episode. These podcasts are possible through the great coaches and businesses participating in the T3 Accelerator coaching program, being willing to share their expertise and experiences. A shout out to the numerous T3 Accelerator partners and sponsors, in particular RTO7, Community Future South Georgian Bay, and Tourism Simcoe County. More information on T3 Accelerator can be found on the rto7.ca website and clicking on T3 Accelerator. We hope you take action on at least one tip or idea you picked up in this episode, and that the information shared with you helps your business. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy Sternai.